Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another Wednesday afternoon or evening or whatever time it is or whatever day it is when you're listening this to this broadcast, this blog radio show of Keeping It Brief, where we are delighted to read your brevity and, you know, try and give you the most complete and wonderful comments on your amazing work. So I'd like to thank Adam and Phil for creating this wonderful cooperation and putting together this wonderful show for us. And Kate is having Weaver of Dreams. Kate is having technical problems today, so hopefully she'll be able to join us during the show. But Diane is back, and Pam is here to help us out and to fill in. So without further ado, I'll say hello to my wonderful co-hosts, Diane and Pam. Hello, how are you doing this afternoon?
Well, it is a great morning here. I'm doing awesome. Naomi, it's so good to hear you and see you again, girl.
Yeah, you got over the flu.
Oh, whatever it was, I you know what? It's way behind me.
Yeah.
I feel so much better and really looking forward to the show. We got so much on here today. I'm looking at the carryovers and the go-aheads. Like, we have a really, really packed show today.
Yeah, we have a board packed, oh my gracious. And Pam, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Had ran into town, do a little errands, and then after that just came back home, sat down, relaxed, and now ready to join in the show. And I'm glad you're feeling better, Diane, and definitely good to hear you both. So, and how are you doing, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, great. I just got dinner over with, some great chicken. And yummy, yummy. So my belly's full, and yeah, I'm ready to go with my bottle of water, and yeah, everything just okay. And we have such a packed board again today, so we'll try and get through as many of your poems as we can. You know, we don't want to just get through poems to get through poems. We want to, you know, spend time on each one of them and make sure we give them the comments that each piece deserves. So, I want to say hello to Gonzo out on the board, and to Patrick, PM Murphy, and to Hats. Hi, Hats. And hi, Patrick, and hi, Gonzo, and we appreciate you being out there on the board. And in L&P, I see Frank there. So hi, Frank, if you're listening in. So I guess we're ready to kick off this show to get the most poems read as we can and commented on. So, Diane, whenever you're ready, dear, just kick off the show.
Yeah, I'm right on top of it. This is so cool. I got this new computer. I can just pick up the post from one window and drop it in another. It's just, like, too awesome. So I'm putting up The Studio by Barbara G. It's a carryover from the 4/13 show, and post it. And Naomi, would you like to kick us off with reading this one?
Yeah, of course. The Studio by Barbara G. Rancid oils cling to barren corners and choke my breath. Picture frames stripped of their canvases stare like empty eyes, and a naked easel stands gaunt and cold, making me shudder. I sat for him on clothes on this red divan, now faded and stained. Who does he paint now? Not me. End poem. Yeah, wow. This is, I'm beginning to discover Barbara G since we have this show. And, you know, we read an amazing poem from her last week. And this is another amazing write here. My gracious, I'm discovering an awesome, awesome, talented writer here. This is the second piece we read from her, and so amazing, you know, the way she uses imagery and, the way she can pull emotion from it, from her poetry. I'm just blown away. The way she she paints the being deserted, I guess, was her prompt, deserted. You know, so the way she goes about it, attacking that prompt of being deserted, just amazing. You know, I sat for him unclothed on this red divan, now faded and stained. Who does he paint now? Not me. You know, just amazing. What did you think, Pam?
Well, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. Before I come into the poem, just really quick, I noticed you have three carryovers from Barbara G., and I was thinking what you might want to consider doing, it's totally up to you, Diane, is mixing things up and going to the other carryovers so you're not, you know, to be fair. I mean, with all due respect, and Barbara G. is a wonderful poetess, but yeah, it might be nice to mix things up so we're not doing three of hers in a row when we could get some other people in there. But I thought this was beautiful. And what I like is that she allows us to feel the emotion rather than using those emotion words like, you know, hurt, pain, sadness. We feel the sadness because she talks in that past tense, I sat for him unclothed, you know, I sat in front of him being naked, being vulnerable, you know, I shared this intimate moment with him. And then the question and the answer at the end, who does he paint now? Not me. I am no longer his muse. I am no longer anyone he cares to be intimate with. And I don't know who it is, but I know this. It's not me. And that message comes across very clearly with her perfectly placed word choices. So very well done.
Yeah, indeed. I see Kitty, the naughty poet, has joined us on the board. So hi, Kitty. I'm so happy that you can join us today. And Frank listening. So I put in your poem, Frank. I got it in last minute. That's the last one. And we'll try and read that for you indeed. Kate and not Kate, but Diane, what did you think of Barbara's poem?
Oh, I enjoyed that brevity. The studio, it's the picture she painted, and I'm sitting in the studio there, seeing the studio. And when she talked about the picture frames, stripped of their canvases, stare like empty eyes, she brought such life and, like you said, Naomi, emotion into that piece. And not only did she bring emotion in, but she sent emotion out. I felt that. I felt picture frames staring at me. I could feel this, you know, exposed feeling, and really felt into her, where she was at in this piece. And then, like Pam was talking about, the ending, it is, you know, two words that says it all. Two words that's powerful. Two words that you need say no more. Like, it's just powerful. Powerfully done, the way she's put this together. I'm really impressed with this.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah, like every time I read, you know, like I said, another of her poems, she just so impresses me so much. I agree. So where are you taking us next, Diane?
Well, you know what? Our friend Gonzo's been on the board, I think, waiting or with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's just get this piece up by Gonzo. It's called My Hometown. And Pam, would you like to give that a read for us?
I would be happy to. All right, let me get back to where I was. And here we go. All right. And I will get that link in Late Night Poets. And then I will give the poem a read. All right. So, do. All right. There we go. And this is My Hometown by We Are All Gonzo. And it goes like this. Tinkling spotlights gleam, high beams, smeared paintings to watered eyes. Suburban sidewalk, bridge atop stream, interlocking brick, concrete collide. Earth entrenched, creeping toward each window. Ground fertile, pressed along cluttered banks. Stone peaking, looks beneath frosted beach snow. Evergreen summers, a time to give thanks. End poem.
This is just beautiful. I mean, you know, just the beautiful imagery throughout this this right here. Such a talented writer, Gonzo, and he, you know, he gives us the most. This is a beautiful brevity, but I, you know, I can't pass up the mention of his wonderful stories that he gives us. You know, every time, since a while there, the amazing sound clouds he makes. But talking about this poem, My Hometown, just beautiful, you know, the way he, the interlocking brick concrete collide. And then, you know, the earth entrenched, creeping towards each window. And, you know, just such wonderful, wonderful wordplay throughout this piece. What did you think, Diane?
I like this journey that I was just taking on. My hometown, I went through this little town and I see tinkling spotlights and you know, I'm looking in the windows of the buildings as I go. And just a neat little journey of, you know, it took me back to my hometown in a sense, right? No suburban sidewalks or anything like that, all gravel. But, you know, just a wonderful little journey and you know, then the earth entrenched, creeping toward each window. That's where, you know, you take the reader into the poem and pull the reader right in. And, you know, I loved where it took me. Such, you know, two stanzas and so much in it, so powerful. It's, you know, like these brevities are just teaching me a thing or two.
Oh, I so agree. The, with your comment that he pulled us right into this poem. And I see it's a front page pick. It was a front page pick. So congrats, Gonzo. And before we go on, I think Kate has joined us. Is that true, Pam?
It is. Welcome, Weaver. Glad you could join us.
Welcome, Kate.
I think it's Kate, anyways. Weaver,
hey, Richard,
is that you?
Oh, never mind.
It's Rooster. Okay, never mind. Kate's not here yet. My
Rooster.
Bad. I just got one long-distance number. Welcome, Rooster. Glad you could join us.
Thank you, Pam. You're getting your Kates and your Roosters mixed up there.
We got the wrong chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it's not the first time I've been confused with other people. Never a lady, maybe.
So it's either Reaver or Mooster or Wooster.
Yeah. So, Rooster, I guess you might be in a time crunch.
Well, I've plenty of time. But the thing is, I have to pop the coins into the phone box here as we're speaking. They're just popping in one after the other. So it's a wee bit difficult because when I run out of coins, the phone will start beep, beep and go dead. So, yes, I'm on a wee bit of a time time committal. Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Okay, well, try and get your poem up, Diane, where do we go next?
Well, could I put it up, Naomi, if that's all right? I have it here on the...
Oh, okay.
It's a very short brevity one, if it's okay to read. I hope I'm not butting in front of...
No.
Well, you know, it might be nice. Hey, I'm really sorry. Just I would like to make a quick comment on Gonzo's poem, if that's okay.
Yes, of course. Yes, I'd like to comment, too. I was listening to it while on the line. I'll comment as well, but you go first.
Thank you for understanding. Yeah, I really enjoyed Gonzo's brevity. You know, I appreciate the use of imagery to describe his hometown, and I really connected with this because it sounds a lot like my town that I live in, with the bridge over the stream and the evergreen summers. And I like that he brought us in to his home, to a memory that's important to him, and really just in just a few lines, kind of almost like brought us on a little vacation of the mind. So I thought this was very well done.
Oh, indeed, yeah. Thank you so much, Pam. That was an awesome, awesome comment. And Rooster, your comment.
Yes, I listened and followed along in Gonzo's poem, and I think he's like myself. He's a bit of a homebird, and you can travel all over the globe, but at the end of the day, home is where the heart is, isn't it? And, you know, you always have a fond appreciation of your own motherland, and you always remember the growing up and the people and the surroundings and all the wee things that were dear to you. So, and it makes you feel aware and cognizant of especially what's going on in Ukraine and those poor people having to leave their homes and everything. It made me very aware of that as well, and thoughtful of them and their precarious condition, you know. So it was a quite contemporary poem and very well written for the times, and I thought it was very endearing. Well done, Gonzo.
Yeah, endearing is the right term there. And yeah, our hearts do go out to all those people in Ukraine and everything that's going on, indeed. Awesome comment there, Rooster. So whenever you're ready, Rooster, you can go ahead and read your poem.
Thank you very much, Naomi. It's keeping brief. And there's it's a wee contest I entered. A nice lady, she's, you probably would, most of you would be aware of her, Ursula. She's from another group, but sometimes I enter a wee contest there. They're brief and they're very interesting. And the poem, if I could just quickly read the poem, it's very brief as well, which inspired my poem for the contest. I'll read it first, so, and then I'll read my poem, and you can then think of how it goes in relation to the original. So the prompt was Out of the Mist. So if you're sitting comfortably, I'll read it then. It goes, out of the mist of a million probable worlds, out of the dizziness of a long dream, like a bee that found its nectar in a field of stones, or a poet who heard his heart's music amid cries of war. The precision was that of divine intervention, art born of deeper beauty. And just like birds find home after a long winter, and a smile finds its way to a melancholy face, I found you. Now, I thought that at the end of the prompt poem, which it struck me of several famous poems by famous authors of the past, you know, Invictus, do you remember that one? Captain of My Soul, I think it ends, and bits of Tennyson in there as well, and If by Rudyard Kipling, all in a brief few lines. So I had to think about it, and here's what I came up with based on that poem. And my poem is called You Can Talk to Me. When money filled my pockets overflowing, like splashing storm surging frothy water, company was plentiful, the life and soul of the party, following baying hounds, and I was the bugler. In life there's no free lunches, I lost all, learned the cost. As melting snow, good times disappeared. When there's no cash to flash, friends are fair weathered. Loneliness, disillusionment, stop the spirit. And that old black dog sure seeks an empty heart and home. It prefers darkness to gnaw away on bones. Until a chance encounter like two gravitating stars, like new day sunrise. Your spark relit my fire. And I put a wee music accompaniment to you of Stevie Nicks there. You remember from Fleetwood Mac even talked to me. I thought that was quite appropriate. But anyway, that's my poem, and I'm going to be listening to the rest of the show on the board. Thank you very much for letting me read, and looking forward. Thank you for taking my call as well, Pam. Excellent work, everybody, and I'll talk to you all again soon. Much love from Northern Ireland.
Thank you, Rooster. Thank you so much for calling in. Oh, that, wow, that was an amazing poem by Rooster. I just love, you know, how he incorporates so many metaphors in this, you know, like the splashing storm, surging, frothy water, you know, to explain to a metaphor for money filling overflowing pockets. And then, you know, the melting snow when everything, then the money and all, everything disappears. And, you know, just like a sadness from this poem, you know, when everything is gone, how people go away too, I think. And, you know, the that last stanza, I'll let other people comment on that last stanza, but, you know, it's just, you know, it's just so sad. Pam, your comments on Rooster's poem.
Yeah, this is beautiful and heartfelt. He did a wonderful read of it. You know, to me, I really like how the message of it, that how unfortunate it is that when your money is filled, your pockets are filled with money and, you know, your wealth is overflowing, everyone's your friend. And then all of a sudden, there's that loneliness when you realize that you've been abandoned by people who you thought would always have your back. But, you know, I like that, you know, there's that the metaphors, the chance encounter of two gravitating stars like a new day sunrise. Your spark relights my fire. It's just a wonderful expression of a love that is found in a time of loss and turmoil. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent comment there, Pam. Diane, your thoughts on Rooster's excellent poem and excellent read.
Oh, I'm just, you know, this, I'm looking at the picture and seeing this guy jumping and going down into the water, and I'm looking at the poem and it's flowing the same way for me. At the top, it's like, you know, all there's the height of excitement and the height of, you know, money in my pockets and life is good and company's there and there's a party happening. And then we go down and, you know, in the middle part, I'm seeing it where things are coming into reality and the melting snow and things are disappearing, no cash. And, you know, just again, another journey that the reader is able to go on, and then ending with the sadness of the old black sheepdog seeks empty heart and home. Like it flowed with such emotion and yet was captivating in grabbing my attention. And the wordplay, I was looking at, you know, when I came to AP, I used to think, what the heck are they talking about? Show, don't tell. Show, don't tell. You know, I never knew what that meant until I started reading other people's work, and I saw things like frothy water. Not water, but frothy water. And all of a sudden, the water took on a different picture for me. It's just like wordplay is so wonderful in poetry, and how the writer used it. You know, what Rooster did here with the wordplay was phenomenal, really enjoyable.
Oh, so much so there. I agree, you know, I agree. That's an awesome, awesome observation there, an awesome comment there that you made, Diane. Where are you taking us next, Diane?
Okay, I am going to take us to, Hats is still with us, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you're on board. Hi, Hap.
All righty. We have First by Hap, and I'll go ahead and give that a read. Four bare feet on a meadow among poppies and cornflowers. Only the dew of the stars can freshen the heat of the entwined lips, on feeble knees, mutual moan, fingertips catching fast pulse. A light breeze fills me with the scent of his body. End poem.
Oh, wow. I just love this. You know, there's so much, again, so much emotion in this piece. A light breeze fills me with the scent of his body. You know, I just love when a poet incorporates scent into a poem. I don't know. It's just one of the senses that, just awakens emotion inside of me and feelings. This is so well written, you know, the entwined lips, the enfeebled knees, the mutual moan, fingertips catching fast pulse. I just love this all the way through. Just bravo, Cats. What a wonderful write here. And Pam, what did you think of this poem?
This is a beautiful, sensual write. Wonderful use of bringing in the poppies and the cornflowers. You can just see that pop of color. I like the delicate rhyme and alliteration and enfeebled knees, mutual moans. Absolutely beautiful and very well done.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, the poppies and the cornflowers do bring in that color there. And Diane, your comments.
I'm just pulling it back up. Sorry. Running around. First, the first thing that struck me in this poem, and I just want to say, Hats, where did you get this? How did this pop into your head? Four bare feet. I mean, that first line grabbed me. It was four bare feet, and I was like, wow, that's a powerful line. Like, that just grabs the reader right away. And then you talked about the scent, Naomi, and I was reading back through it, and I could smell the meadow. I could smell the poppies and the cornflowers. And then the play on word again, wordplay always, I'm soft for wordplay. I love good wordplay. The dew of the stars, you know, that just, I never imagined dew of the stars. And it's just, where again did you get that? That just blows me away. Great poem, great brevity. Like Pam said, sensual and really, really enjoyable.
Yeah. Just a great observation there. Four bare feet, I agree that just draws you right into the poem. I just imagine there the four bare feet, you know, on a meadow in that field of poppies and cornflowers. Just such a great beginning like Pam said, such a sensual right here. So just bravo, Hats, on this poem. Just amazing. And Diane, where do we go next?
Well, next we are going to go to Patrick.
Oh,
and
yes.
Here we go. We have a poem up by Patrick. And would you like to read that for us, Naomi?
It would be an honor to read for Patrick. Smoke, I saw you parting across the room, defiling my thank, living in my breath, and I inhaled every inch. End poem. Wow. Yeah, That says a lot in so few words. I mean, you know, he just captivated the essence of that other person, you know, in these few lines, and how he I'm looking for the had reverence for the this other person that he saw across the room. Just so amazingly written, oh my gracious, in so few words. It says so much. Just an amazing written brevity here. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah, this is a beautiful brevity. And it's always wonderful when somebody can create almost like a story, a brief snapshot of a moment with so few words. And you just, you feel how this he was drawn to this other person. And I think even the title itself works as part of the poem because you kind of get the idea of how addictive the movement of this person was, this woman was. And the smoke, you think of the curling of the smoke representing the way the woman sways as her curves move as she walks. And, you know, the whole message of just suddenly feeling the impact of someone in a life that you thought you wanted only for yourself and nobody else involved with it. It really comes across strong in these words. So very well done.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, an amazing, amazing comment there. I agree that the title is. Diane, what are your thoughts?
This is a powerful brevity. First of all, Naomi, I want to say thank you for inviting me to this show because I have heard and read so much wonderful poetry, brevity, that I've not ever encountered. And this one alone, Smoke, you know, how can you take, how many words are we talking, and create this image of smoke? That's talent. And create this image of not only smoke, but a presence in the room behind the smoke. And then talking about the smoke parting across the room and then seeing what's behind that cloud of smoke and how the writer inhales every inch of what's behind that smoke. It's like powerfully somebody's, you know, when you first see somebody that really piques you, and you see them across the room through a cloud of smoke, I mean, that's a gift. That's a gift to be able to write and describe that and have me sitting there in that clouded, smoky room seeing it. It's just powerful, amazing.
Oh, yes, indeed. Amazing, amazing writing by Patrick there. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Okay, you know what? I heard you say Kitty was around.
Yeah, indeed.
So let's put Kitty's poem up on the board. Here we go. It is called Fairy Mythical Creatures. And Pam, would you like to give that a read for us?
I would be happy to. All right. Fairy Mythical Creatures by Kitty the Naughty Poet. And it goes like this. Once a baby giggles for the first time, a fairy is born into its wings, flying through a mountain and past the ocean, floating through the dreamscape of reality, a helping hand to all things natural and living, with extra support from the dust of the magic tree. Hiding behind nature's stem, dreaming upon sweet petals, basking in the nectar of life, pixie sprinkle of light and happiness, tinkering canticles of fantasies, sparkling in the fairy tales of dreams and poem.
You know, this is just beautiful. You know, anything with pixies and you know, fairy tales, you just got me, you know. But this is just so amazingly well written. You know, once a baby giggles for the first time, a fairy is born into its wings. Oh, how beautiful is that? That, you know, I don't know how she came up with that line, but it's so amazing, you know, the idea of a baby giggling and a fairy being born. Oh, wow. You know, just such beautiful imagery all through this, you know, down to those last beautiful lines. What did you think, Diane?
Well, I think Kitty is ingenious. I think her first line captures the whole poem. It just, you know, that first line is like, I never would have imagined the fairies with a little baby giggling, but putting that into it for me makes it real. It gives me a reality for the fairies with the babies. And it was just that line alone is what an amazing way to start a piece and tie it in with fairies and into its wings. Just powerful. And then dreaming up on sweet petals, basking in the nectar of life, like the words, the descriptions, the imagery, tinkering with mechanicals of fantasies. I'm just blown away by the words and the... When I look at it, all I see is just brightness. It's so bright and so happy. It's just awesome feeling that it instills in me.
Yeah, that's an awesome, awesome comment there, Diane. And Pam, what did you think?
This is beautiful all the way through. And I have to agree with Diane about the importance and also how captivating the opening lines are. But what really grabbed my attention in this write is the lines, a helping hand to all things natural and living with extra support from the dust of the magic tree. Because that spoke to me of two things. One, the connection through all things natural, through nature, you know, is the connection. And also it says, to me, what it says is that she neither dismisses the magic realm or the realm of reality, of the everyday, but rather says that the two are connected and help each other out. And I thought that was a very thoughtful part in this poem. So very well done.
Oh, indeed. So well done. You know, this tinkling with mechanics of fantasy sparkling in the fairy tales of dreams. You know, there's such an aura of magic and, you know, spirituality, reverence to nature and everything and life itself surrounding this poem. Just an amazing, amazing work, the Naughty Poet. I saw that SSM it was on the Late Night Poets board. I want to say hi to him. So we'll get you read soon. Diane, where are we going next?
Okay, yeah, I just passed by SSM's poem, so we'll put that up next. But I have ready to go Daniel's.
Yeah, Daniel.
It's a carryover from a while. So let's post Daniel. And it is called The Lost World Restore. And Naomi, would you like to go ahead and read that?
Of course. The Lost World Restore by Daniel Descino. And I want to say sorry to Daniel because, he's been a carryover for a while. And, you know, but we're reading it now, so sorry, Daniel. The last word, world restore. Amongst the hatred and selfishness around the inhumanity, there are soft, delicate things. I only need to step off the rigid, crude, walkways of man. Stop. Hold out my hand and touch. Oh, you know, Daniel just has this way of putting thoughts and out there and emotions into his poem. You know, the lost world restored. You know, the way he just pauses there, you know, stop, hold out my hand and touch. I just love, you know, the way this whole rite has this deep, deep message and the whole flow of it and, you know, the way he formatted it, you know, so that it can be read with all the meaning that it holds. What do you think, Pam? Daniel's right.
Well, I have to agree with you that this is deep. It's deep. It's powerful. It makes me think of almost like the idea and message of renewing a Garden of Eden type thing. But rather than saying, you know, we're going to have this whole big, you know, garden renewed, it's that you can find the garden in the small things. You can step away from I like how he uses the rigid, crude walkways to represent how the world is often cold and cruel and barren and ugly because people separate from each other. And you find that beauty in the small things, the little flowers, the beautiful stones on the side of the road, whatever it is that you find beauty in, you just have to reach out and look for it. And there you will find that Garden of Eden within that small flower. So very well done.
Yes, indeed. Yes, so well said. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, I love this. I'm not real familiar with Daniel's work, but I've seen his name often pop up. And I enjoyed this getting to know him through his work. There's a kindness to this, you know. How do you restore the world? Hold out your hand and touch. I mean, how powerful is that? The only thing needed to restore our world, a simple touch. And he's so right. I mean, that is so true. I mean, humanity. And I love his wordplay. Inhuman, inhumanity, inhumanity. It's like putting that together, it's like, what are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to ourselves? Stop, people, and hold out your hand and touch. Like, just very well done. I'm certainly going to look into more of Daniel's work.
Oh, yeah. He's such a talented reader. You know, so philosophical in his writing, you know, and so thought-provoking in all his writing. Just an amazing, amazing poet. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Well, I'm going to post, here we go, FSM's poem.
Yeah, and he said he had no audio, but he said in a comment that he'd prefer it to be read than his audio played. So we'll just go ahead and read that.
I will go ahead and do that. It's called What Love Is Like by SSM Everest. Never bowing down to time's behest, burning brighter than the sun's core, engulfs our hearts like a black hole, deeper than Mariana Trench, creates paradise in heart's wasteland, flowing like eternal river. Titanium strength to our will it delivers, tingling through us like electric current. Like God, it is the most revered. End poem.
Yeah, this is amazing. Love is like the Everest, you know, the highest mountain on earth. You can't, you know, never bowing down to time's behest. You know, that, wow, you know, that is awfully witty and just so creative, you know, that line there. Just an amazing, you know, right here by SSM. My gracious, so much talent in these brevities. And this is another one, tingling through us like electric current, like God, it is the most revered, reverend, you know, just an amazing poem here. And Pam, your thoughts on this poem?
Yeah, I really liked this all the way through. Wonderful use of metaphors, and you know, I like that they mention some well-known things like Mount Everest and the Mariana Trench. I thought that was really clever. And I especially like the line, titanium strength to our will it delivers, the idea of how strong the support of love is. So beautifully written and very well done.
Yeah, the support of love. I just loved that that comment there, Pam. It's so true, so well portrayed in this piece. And Diane, your thoughts?
First of all, Pam, that was a great comment. I honed in on that titanium strength line as well. It's like, you know, I like the description. I like the metaphors. I like how powerful the words are, not just strength, but the titanium strength. And you know, you don't get blacker than ebony, and you don't get stronger than titanium. And that just is so powerful in putting out the point of what love is like. And in the descriptions of bringing in things like the electric current, you know, that's so true. Love is like electric current. And, you know, burning brighter than the sun's core. It is somebody who, it is a piece by someone who truly can describe what love is like. It's really powerful. Like Pam said, the Mariana Trench and the use of like Mount Everest. You don't get more powerful than Mount Everest. Really, really well done piece. Quite enjoyable.
Oh, yes, indeed. And, yeah, we shouldn't forget Frank there. I think he's listening while he's eating his tacos there. it's been so long since I've eaten a taco. Made me hungry again. So, Diane, where are we going next?
Okay, can you remind me who Frank's profile is?
Poetic Picasso. I think he's the last one on the list.
All right. There he is. Let's get him up there. All righty. It is up there, The Scent of Lovers,
yeah,
by Poetic Picasso. Would you like to read that one for us, Naomi?
Okay. The Scent
Does
of
Lovers.
Does
he have a SoundCloud?
Oh.
No, he doesn't.
A lot of times he does.
But he just gave it to me like a couple of minutes ago, so I didn't give the
answer. Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, and by the way, Weaver is with you, so I'm going to say welcome, Weaver, and I'm going to put myself on mute and just let me know you need to play SoundCloud.
Okay, thank you so much, Pam. So appreciate it. And hi, Kate.
Hello. I got here. Whoa.
Welcome, Kate.
Technology, eh?
Oh, I love it. I just reset everything in the house, basically. So, but we're here. Hello.
I'm so happy to have you. I mean, you know, all the way from Scotland, you know. You know, it's like a master plan or of tricks every time you know you're on the show. So just thank you for being here. You know, that's amazing to have you all the way from across the great pond. So just happy you could make it. And Weaver, did you happen to hear? I'm about to read Frank's poem here, Poetic Picasso there. So I'll just go ahead and read it. And welcome again, Kate.
Thank you.
So this is the scent of lovers. Mi amor, love is the scent of lovers, perfumed under the covers, the rose of a blooming purity, the petals of a naked beauty. It is a sweet honey I savor, the drops of a seductive flavor, a pretty glow on my lover's face, the ballet of a romantic grace. Oh, that's, you know, yeah, that is just pure grace, you know, this poem. All along, I just loved the flow, you know, and the rhymes throughout. And indeed, it's just like a beautiful romantic ballet, this entire rite. I love how incorporated, you know, the rose, the petals, you know, so many beautiful imagery, much imagery in this poem and metaphors. Just an amazing, amazing brevity by Frank here, our Poetic Picasso. And, you know, he lives up to his name, Poetic Picasso, because, my gracious, he is a Picasso indeed of words, especially when it comes to sensuality. Just a wonderful right here. And what did you think, Kate?
Well, exactly what you're thinking. It was absolutely beautiful. Love is the scent of lovers, perfumed under the covers. Now, there you are. You see, you have it all, don't you? I think it's just rose of blooming purity, the petals of a naked beauty. So you've got all of that telling you exactly how he feels in just four lines. And then it goes on even more. You get the sweet honey I savor. The drops of a... It really flows beautifully, and it was very romantic, and I enjoyed that a lot. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So well said there, Kate. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, you know, first I have to say, Naomi, this was the read for you. You took your, you know, you took the opening line, me and more, and you put your accent and your role of the wording on it. And it was just, it gave it more of the seduction that the poem is reading out, right? Because it was read with the role of the words and everything. It was really well read. Great job. And the love is the scent of lovers, perfumed under the covers. I like the rhyming. I like the flow, the meter, the story. It's just a real, you know, a glow inside to, like you said, Naomi, he lives up to his name, Poetic Picasso. Like, how can you take words and make them like an artist painting them? Well, he just did.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, well said. Well said indeed there. And if you think my reading of this is great, you should hear him read sensual poems on my gracious, you just melt. He has such a great, you know, deep sensual voice when he reads his sensual poetry. Yeah, just bravo again, Frank, for this amazing, amazing brevity here. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, I'm going to take
Sapphire Rose is on the board. Hi, Sapphire. okay, sorry for interrupting, Diane. Just go on.
Oh, absolutely no problem, my friend. I'm going to post the very first carryover from the 420 show.
Mm-hmm.
And it is Sweet Sunrise, Kyriel, by Passion's Promise. And I'll go ahead and read that. Or actually, no, Kate, would you read that for us, please?
Yes, my darling, of course I will. Just get myself organized. I'm a little bit frazzled. Sweet sunrise, yes. Right. Oh, I have to put it up on the other board as well. Bear with me a moment. This is,
oh,
this
yeah.
This is not like me at all.
Okay.
Here we are. Oh, dear.
It's arriving.
Deep breath, I can do. Oh, this is a lovely one. Okay. A winter snap in days of March, as broken limbs hang in the arch, the gust of wind does tantalize. We're greeted with a sweet sunrise. Out front you see the neighbors rake as women squeal at garden snake. Against the wind I bat my eyes. We're greeted with a sweet sunrise. Butterflies dance off rose petals. Music made from rain on metal. And after rain the temps will rise. We're greeted with a sweet sunrise. We watch the traffic come and go as suckers passing horns will blow. And morning comes before your eyes. We're greeted with a sweet sunrise. End poem.
Ah, this is just beautiful, you know, talking about March and, you know, everything coming alive there. She made me think, you know, we watch the traffic come and go as truckers passing horns will blow. You know, I don't know if you did that, but stand on the side of the road when the trucks went by and just made that movement with your arm up and down, you know, with your fists closed so that they'd honk their horns as children. We'd do that, you know, just, and then we'd be so, oh, he honked for us. So it just makes me think of that. But, you know, this is just beautiful. And the repetition of we're greeted with a sweet sunrise, you know, just adds to all the beauty of this poem. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, I enjoyed this. Again, right from the very, you know, it's, when a poem takes you right from that first line, it's just, it's powerful. And a winter snap in days of March. I heard this loud snap, and we're into March. And it was just so, the imagery and the metaphor and, you know, taking us into rolling through, waking up into a sweet sunrise. And the wording, and I have to say something about the meter in this. When I first came to AP, I joined a meter, rhyme and meter group. 2 months in, I left because I couldn't understand it. But the meter in this is like, now I know what it's talking about. The flow and the rhyme and the meter. And it's not like, I learned a lot about syllables, not stress, or stress, not syllables. And the way she wrote this, or wrote this with the meter and made it flow and rhyme and carry a story, it was powerful, amazing.
Yeah, very powerful indeed. Wonderful flow and meter. Kate, you read that so beautifully. What were your thoughts?
Oh, it as has been said, it does, it flows beautifully. I used to actually sit and count every syllable to try and get it to work when I first started because of all the advice you get. So you do that kind of thing, don't you? I very soon mm-hmm. stopped that because it kind of interrupts the flow for a start, and all you're thinking about is numbers, which is not what you're supposed to think about when you're writing something as beautiful as this. But this is a person who obviously knows exactly what they're doing, and if you read it back, you can tell if there's a flaw. And obviously this person has done a really wonderful job on this Passion's Promise. Oh, sorry, I just realized who it was. Passion's Promise.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, beautifully done. Beautifully done, and I really enjoyed reading it. Thank you.
Yeah, Passion's really did an amazing write here. And Diane, where does that take us next?
Well, I'm looking, here we go. I just found Sapphire Rose.
Yeah, she's on the board.
Let's
get her up there. Okay, it's Love by Sapphire Rose. And I will go ahead and read that. Love. I long for a love as wild as wildflowers, as free as the wind, and as refreshing as the summer rain. End poem.
Isn't that just, you know, in all its simplicity, she made it so beautiful. You know, it's so short and concise and just so well worded. You know, she has the wildflowers, the wind, and then the summer rain. It just so beautifully written, this brevity here by Sapphire. Just so much emotion again from this piece. What did you think, Kate?
It says so much, doesn't it? I long for a love as wild as wildflowers. Yes, we do, don't we? A nice wild love affair, as free as the wind and as refreshing, which as the summer rain. I do envy people who can put so much into so small an amount of words. I would need a book to write something that portrays that much. So yes, lovely. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, so true. You know, so much and so few well chosen words here. Just beautiful. Diane, you read that so beautifully. What were your impressions?
Oh, I love this little brevity. It says so much in so few words. But, you know, I long for a love. And I long for a certain kind of love. My love has to be as wild as wildflowers or as free as the wind and as refreshing as the summer rain. I mean, that just says it all. This writer is putting out there what they're looking for. No holds barred back. I long for a love that is as wild as wildflowers. Very powerful way to just simply put out there your yearning for love. Really well done. Powerful brevity.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, hello, Tilla. Boy, Tilla was working today, but I guess she could step in. We'll get you read. More work for Diane, poor Diane. So Diane, where are you taking us next?
Well, girl.
Hey, Naomi? Yeah?
This new computer.
To read and run, so I'll have her introduce herself.
Welcome.
Oh,
yes. Okay.
Hi, Naomi. This is Tila. How are you? Oh, sorry, I am in the airport. I'm in the airport and I'm working at the same time. I'm working, and you will hear the echo of the airport. So I'm sorry about that. And
okay.
So, and I have my poem. I can read it quickly if you want me to.
Yeah. Do you have the link to post it in the room, Tila?
I can see it here. Yeah, it says by Tila here, Life Today, Gone Tomorrow. So do you want me to read that, or do you want me to read the other one which I send you, the haiku one?
I can read that one, yeah, the one that's posted.
The SPT, okay, sure, okay. So I'm going to read it quickly. It says, Life today, gone tomorrow. Once there was a life full of fishermen and the big nets. Cargo of ships with the merchants stopped by bringing clothes from far east. Many traders came over from all over part of the world, exporting and importing nonstop. A big lighthouse guiding ships to travel the night sea. Life was all over the places. My family used to visit this place regularly, and I, as kids, used to have many local boys and girls who became good friends of mine. After a long time, I came and was shocked to see the calm blue sea so still, like nothing happened here before. My heart, too, dissolved, watching the half-voted dinghy trying to thump my head after many years gone by, seeing the same place with a bright strip of sun, with the cool blue water, looking as though it will gulp down the whole sea in one go. Sadly, strange to see a place in complete ruin with a long empty bath. End of poem. Thank you.
yeah, thank you so much, Tilla. Wow, what a wonderful, wonderful poem.
You
know, this is just filled with beautiful, beautiful imagery. You know, and it's such a treat for you to have phoned in. Just thank you so much. I know you're working.
True. That is true. But as soon as I saw you, I was eating. I was on break at the moment, and I'm still on break, actually. And what happened, I saw that, Naomi, you mentioned that you are online. And, you know, so I said, okay, let me call you guys quickly, because in the night I cannot, because, you know, my family, they sleep early and I don't want to disturb them. So afternoon, I promised you that if I get time, I will definitely try to make it. So I did. So congratulations to you guys, and hope you like my poem.
Yeah, we do. We'll get you everybody to comment on this poem, because it's such a treat to have you phone in, Tilla. And, you know, I'm going to get Pam to comment on this poem first, if Pam wants. Yeah.
Definitely.
So Pam... Can you, what are your thoughts on Tila's poem?
Naomi, Pam is going to be right back.
Oh, Pam had to leave. Okay. Okay. So, well, Diane, you can go ahead.
For sure. I love this piece. Tila, I love it. It's
Thank you.
Life today, gone tomorrow. And the picture says exactly that. Life today, gone tomorrow. A dinghy that's half in the water, half out. And you capture that in the poem. And especially the line that grabbed me was looking as though it will gulp down the whole sea. And that's what life is like when it's gone. It's like the water's all gulped away. And you put that in there in that metaphor so powerfully, so well done. I really, really enjoyed this piece.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane, so much.
There's so many beautiful lines in here. You know, you know, when you say so still, like nothing happened here before, my heart too dissolved watching the half-watered dinghy to thump my head. Yeah, after many years gone by, seeing the same place with bright strip of sun. You know, just beautiful writing, Tilla, all through this.
Thank you.
Just amazing. And Kate, what were your thoughts?
Oh, yes. Really, really. Actually, lovely to hear about the place that you remember so fondly, the people that you met, the children that you met, the fact that you went there with your family. I think that was just lovely. I like that. And all these people became your friends, and then you came back and it was quiet and still, as if nothing had happened. That's the way it is sometimes, though, isn't it? That's how it happens. You go back to a place that you have memories of, and it is completely different. And it kind of shakes you a little bit, because in the back of your head, it's still the same place. And so, that's a change that you see, and that can be a little bit disconcerting. They say never go back, but I don't believe that. I think everybody should have a chance to at least go back and see what things have become when they've left and things have changed. But yes, I thought the way you wrote it was lovely. I loved the way the one word after the other and then back to another sentence. I love that. I think that's so cute. So yes, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations to Tila on your front page pick. I'm not surprised it's a front page pick.
Oh, well done.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So congrats on that.
Right.
And thank you so much
right.
for phoning in, Tila.
Thank you so much. And I'll send you every week. And if I get time, I will join you guys like I used to do before in the afternoon. Okay? Enjoy, guys, and take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks. Bye, Tila.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Tila.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.
Okay. So, Diane, where are we going next?
Okay. We are going. I just grabbed another carryover, and it is Together. Now, Pomo number 9 by Mamua. Would you like to read that for us, Kate?
Yes, my dear. No problem at all. Just get that onto there and refresh my page. What's all this about refreshing? I don't find it refreshing at all. Okay. Together. Na Po Mo, number 9. A muzzle on his mouth, a leash around his neck, a hand with long painted nails keeps the beast in check. Voluptuous mistress runs her hand through long blonde hair as she speaks her demands. He does as she says, catering to every whim, safety words almost unneeded, as she belongs also to him. End poem.
Very sensual. You know, this has some, what do you call that, sort of like a is it SBS you call it? SDS maybe. Yeah, dominatrix. A very sensual poem here. I just love the imagery. A hand with long painted nails keeps the beast in check. Love this, right, by Mamia. Yeah, she went all out in this poem. What did you think, Diane?
Oh, I'm blushing. I really like this. I'm sitting here with red cheeks going, Mamia, what are you saying? No, this is awesome. I love this. The keep the beast in check. And then as she speaks her demands, like you said, like I can see this woman just like, you know, powerful, do this and do it now. And it's just so, it with such power and such grace, you know, she put together here a piece that just like, I want to write like that. You know what I mean? I just want to be able to write like that, a muzzle on his mouth, a leash round his neck. So powerfully done. Well done. Keep going, girl. You go, girl.
Yeah, indeed. And Kate, are you blushing too?
it takes a lot to make me blush, I have to say. But I do enjoy this kind of poetry a lot, as you may have gathered. Unfortunately, while I started to read, I looked over at Mamia's bio, and I saw a cat. So I presumed it was about her cat at the beginning. And then, of course, I read a little bit further and realized it's not a cat, woman. It's not a cat. So, yes, lovely, beautifully written. And I do love sensual poetry. I love it a lot. And words like voluptuous mistress. That's when I realized this wasn't a cat. Through long blonde hair, she speaks her demands. But this is consensual. There are two of them because they they belong to each other. It's just the way they like things, I think. And I thought it was, I mean, obviously it's probably not at all true. It's just, you know, it's still beautiful. And I did, I really enjoyed reading it. I wish I'd done a little bit more for it, but it was lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, just an amazing comment there, Kate. And I just love that. He does, as she says, catering to every whim. Safety words almost unneeded, as she belongs also to him. You know, amazing flow and rhyme throughout this piece too. And, you know, it takes us back to what was that? Gray, 50 Shades of Gray.
Yes, it takes
me right back to those books. Yeah, so amazing, amazing poem here by Mamia. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, up next is Black Widow by Neil Taylor. Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Yes, by Neil. To the willow I flow. Each step very slow. She sits, her hair glows, braided to the pond, filled with bullfrog sounds. Each step is better than any drug I've ever known. She just smiles, and to my demise, I'll gladly go. She's a man-eater, a black widow with fangs that will end my life. But one touch of her breast is worth the end of my life. I'll gladly have my flesh turned to bones as I sink to the bottom of her pond. I'll gladly go. End poem. Wow. I just love the metaphor, you know, of the black widow and, you know, this man-eating woman here, and, you know, that last stanza, so amazing. Just an amazing little write here by Neil Taylor. I just enjoyed it so much, you know, and he has death in there, you know, so maybe this is a metaphor in a way for death. But you know, I saw it as being in the grips of this woman, this man eater here, that you know, completely takes over your whole being. What did you think, Kate?
Yes, it does sound as though this is a person who is completely besotted with someone. I think someone. She sits, her hair glows, braided to the pond, filled with bullfrog sounds. I have a pond, and I get an awful lot of bullfrogs in it. I didn't think that sound was that wonderful. That's just me. In the middle of the night, it's not so hot. Each step is better than any drug I've ever known. She just smiles, and to my demise, I gladly go. Now, that says a lot, doesn't it? That says a great deal. A man-eater, a black widow with fangs. Yes, this is a powerful person in this other person's life as well, obviously. But yes, I think the metaphors are just wonderful. I'd gladly have my flesh turned to bones as I sink to the bottom of her pond. I'll gladly go. Yes, very well written, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, amazing, you know. Amazingly written, amazing comment there, Kate. And your thoughts, Diane?
Oh, just the metaphor and the powerful image of the Black Widow here. Like, I'm seeing, you know, a love affair with a Black Widow, a love affair with death, a love affair with the end. And usually I'm captivated by the starting line of the piece. Well, it was the last line, I'll gladly go. And just the acceptance and the surrender of this love affair with the Black Widow of Death. You know, it just, and she's a man-eater. And, you know, just powerful the way I could feel the flow of the Black Widow moving and going throughout the whole piece. It was just powerful, the imagery that captivated this piece. Well done, Neil. Well done.
Yeah, so well said there. You know, the movement of the the Black Widow. An amazing observation there, Diane. So where are you taking us next, Diane?
We are going next to another carryover. It's called It Feels Like Spring by Wayne Jen. By Wayne. So here we go. Would you like to read that for us, Weaver?
Yes, my dear. No problem at all. Just getting to it. Feels like spring. Oh, look at the lovely daffodils. Each morning, rays glisten off cool dew. Rebirth in air, everything new. Cardinal on branch, starting to sing. Origami elixir, far from morning in spring. Back and forth goes busy bees. Squirrels scampering in maple trees. Still a cool nip in morning breeze. Dagwood in air causes quick sneeze. Yellow trumpet daffodils starting to appear. Sound of first lawnmower starting to hear. Dogwood shines with blooms white. Forsythia looks to be burning bright. Coffee on deck, what a feel. Dream about walk, probably will. Not in a hurry, not a thing to do. Desiring spring, everything once again new. End poem.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful write. And I see it won gold. So congrats, Wayne, on that. And before I comment on the poem, I just want to say I hope you're doing better, Wayne, you know, since your car accident there. You know, he's been sending me messages. So he is feeling better. And, you know, on the mend, but he was quite shaken up, my graces, with, you know, and multiple fractures and everything.
Ooh.
So I hope you're doing much better. And, you know, we wish you the best recovery there, Wayne. And, you know, going on to this poem, it just shines off the page, I find. You know, just such beautiful imagery throughout. You can see the squirrels scampering in the maple trees. I see that around here. And, you know, he has the flowers in here and, you know, the trees and then taking your coffee on the deck. What a feel indeed. What did you think, Diane?
Well, first of all, Naomi, great comment on it. It just, it's bright. It's there. It's, you know, it's happy. It's everything about it. Like, I have to tell you my setting. I'm sitting here in the living room and the blinds are half open and it is a rainy, rainy, cloudy, nasty looking day out there. Dark and dark and dark. And then I read this poem and not the image itself, but the early morning rays glisten off cool dew. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I need. And rebirth in air, everything new. It just gave me such energy. And a cardinal on a branch. Like, everything in it is metaphorical of what sunshine the reader may need in their life at this time. It's just so well done. Really touched me and pulled me out of this rain cloud I'm looking at.
Yeah, I can say the same thing. It's an awful rainy day, too. Maybe it's a rainy day all across Canada here. Kate, what did you think?
Yes, what such a bright, vibrant write. It really is. There's so many lines in it that I thought were just wonderful. I mean, I love daffodils, yellow trumpet daffodils starting to appear. And I love the sound of the first lawnmower starting to hear. Yeah, that's when you know it's things are growing, when people start cutting their grass again. But yes, all the way through. And that last stanza, coffee on deck, what a feel. We can't do that in Scotland very often. Dream about walk, probably will. I like that as well. Dream about walk, probably will. Not in a hurry, nar thing to do. It just is that a saying? Is that the way people say, like nothing to do in Canada? Is he Canadian? I don't know. Or maybe it's just
he's from the United States. He's from the South. Yeah.
Right. I just like that nar thing to do. I just thought that was just so cute. Yes. Beautifully done, and it does. It makes you feel much lighter and brighter having read that. So thank you very much for that, Wayne.
Yeah, just a beautiful write-off, Drew. I agree. Absolutely. Awesome comments, both of you. And Diane, where do we go on next?
Where we are going next is a poem called Blue Honey by Casey Day, and it has a SoundCloud. Is Pam there?
Yeah, Pam can play that SoundCloud whenever
Blue
we're ready.
Blue Honey. Slow rain dripped onto our parched lips, and we drank it in like honeydew. Under gray-blue skies, listening to grasshopper lullabies, thunder hummed in the distance, while our hearts kept rhythm.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful write. Casey Day always amazes me with her ability to go straight to the essentials in her writing, and create I said that so many times, but I mean she just creates this emotion that spills from her words. And the way, and that read was just amazing. She has a lovely, lovely reading voice. And thank you so much, for the Casey, for the SoundCloud. So appreciated every time a poet there can send in a SoundCloud and we can hear your poetry read in your voice. We just go crazy. We just love it. So send in those sound clouds. Don't be shy. Just amazing. Drank it in like honeydew. Wow. Kate, what did you think of this poem?
Yes, the voice. It's always nice to hear the voice that actually wrote the words, because the cadence and the emotion is there. Slow rain dripped onto our parched lips and we drank it in like honeydew. Oh, that's just lovely, isn't it? And then the grasshopper lullabies. And my favorite, thunder hummed in the distance while our hearts kept rhythm. It's just so much put into those words. Yes, it was. I really enjoyed it. It was really, really lovely. Thank you.
Oh yeah, indeed. Just superb. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, this is cool. I really enjoy this. First of all, the picture of the honeybee on the window, at the rainy window. That's the window I'm looking out through right now, and I'm looking out that window with the honeybee on there, and it's like looking down at where she says, or they say, thunder hummed in the distance, and it was so peaceful. It was like it's okay that thunder hums, because I'm a thunder person. Thunder roars and I run, but thunder humming, quite different. It was so acceptable. It was so warming and calming. And this picture, even though I'm looking out a window like that, it in itself, because of the way it's described, it's so calming, really wonderfully well done. Excellent take on the image, and it could easily stand alone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Great observation there, Diane. Just an amazing write. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Next, we are moving into our next carryover. We are getting through some of these. And it is Garden Delights, Moonset by Garden Delights. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. Moonset, chiffon dreams afloat on watery seas. Silvery moon illuminates denim skies. While the cry of a lone harlequin duck evokes sympathetic musings. Delicate tracery of scattered pomegranate and purple blossoms, wind loosened, bobbing on mild waves, clustering in conventional gatherings, conversational gatherings like ladies at the shore, wrapping all in quietude woven from softly sprouting blooms, nestled in wispy cloud remnants, the chittering of tiny finches with bright orange beaks accompanies little hops from twig to branch, watching moonset on midnight water. End poem.
Oh, wow. I mean, Garden Delight, she, you know, let's talk about talent, you know. This poet has it, you know. There's so many beautiful, you know, metaphors here. You know, I have a hard time picking out just one. You know, the silvery moon illuminates denim skies. With the cry of a lone harlequin duck evokes sympathetic musings. You know, and that's just one example. I mean, you know, I'll leave the others to the to you two girls to comment on, because I'm sure you can pick out so many of them and comment on them. But I just want to say, you know, Garden Delight, you did it again. My gracious, every time I read you, I'm just blown away. Just such a fabulous, fabulous write here. And Kate, what did you think?
Oh, yes. I mean, it is just delightful. The picture alone, oh, that picture is so cute. I can actually see a woman's face in the reflection in the water, and I know it's not, it's just the way that the black has gone against that, but it actually looks like a woman's face reflected in the water. So cute. Right, the last stanza for me is just the chittering of tiny finches with bright orange beaks accompanies little hops from twig to branch watching moonset on midnight water. That for me is just birds anyway, but little tiny finches with orange beaks. Yes, beautifully written. There's just so much in this to admire. I do envy that kind of ability. It really is lovely. Garden Delight, it was delightful. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So I so agree. Just an amazing comment there, Kate. And Diane, what are your thoughts?
Right from the title, Moonset, you know, how centered is the title? How centered is the image? You know, the moon is right in the center of the image and is standing there, and she pulls it out, Moonset. You know, just powerful title and captivating right from the beginning. And then throughout, you know, me writing to images, sometimes I forget details in the images, but she captured everything. The pomegranate and purple blossoms and, you know, like ladies on the shore, like the metaphors, the imagery. And when she talks about, there was a wordplay here that I just really loved. What was it here? Clustering and conversational gatherings. Like ladies at the shore. It was the same one. I just love that metaphor and that image that it gives. Very powerful and pleasant, so pleasant. Like the image itself is just eye candy
But the words, well, they're ear candy, the way she's put it together. Really well done.
Yeah, another gold winner here. Yeah, just so well deserved. You know, so bravo on that gold. And yeah, me too, that metaphor stuck out, the clustering and conversational gatherings. That metaphor was just so witty and so clever. I want to say hi to Laughing Soul out on the board. Hi, and welcome, Laughing Soul. And hopefully we'll get to your poem. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Next, we are going to The Voice of Spring by S.V. Masterson. Now, Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Of course. The Voice of Spring. The voice of spring awakens me from a winter sleep. All of the promises I made, I must now keep. On the mountainside, spring flowers push to the last of the snow. An avalanche of a rainbow design slides down the frozen slopes. Reaching the forest edge, a canopy of green replaces the haunting pines. Dream, like the birds, reappear and fill the skies, dancing now midair. Spring drifts down to the farms and villages below, bringing new hope and a place to grow. End poem. Oh, wow, I just love this. You know, the voice of spring. Just amazing. I just love, you know, the idea of the canopy of green replaces the haunting pines. And, you know, the birds, just the image you create with the sky filled with dancing birds. Just an amazing, amazing write here by Stefan, or Stephen, like they pronounce it in English, I guess. Just amazing, amazing, imagery, and so well written throughout this piece. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes, definitely well written. On the mountainside, spring flowers push through the last of the snow. That always amazes me how much strength these little flowers have. They can just pop their heads up when you least expect it. An avalanche of a rainbow design slides down the frozen slopes. Just beautifully written. It really is, and it does it. It evokes all these, the voice of spring wakens you from a winter sleep. I like the fact all the promises I made, I must now keep. You can imagine all these promises, can't you? I'll walk more, I'll read more, I'll eat less. All these things in the middle of winter you say to yourself, and then come the spring you have to do it. Yeah, I think it was beautifully written, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, so much so. Such a wonderful comment there, Kate. And Diane, your thoughts?
You know, I'm reading this and listening to it, hearing it and thinking, you know, there's a song in here. There's a melody in here. There's a rhythm and a mood that this piece has that I hear the music with it. It's like, you know, it's got that when the senses draw me to a poem, I like to figure out which sense it is, and in this one it's the sound. I hear music with this piece, and you know, like the mountainside spring flowers push through the last of the snow, an avalanche of a rainbow design slides down the frozen slopes. Like, just I could sing it, but I wouldn't dare. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I love it.
Go on. Go on.
Nada.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that comment, Diane. Absolutely. It does have a melody. And, you know, seeing that picture, those mountaintops, it makes me think of the musical, The Sound of Music. you know, with those mountains and in that picture. Just an amazing right here. Just beautiful. Totally beautiful. And where are you taking us next, Diane?
Okay. Next I'm going to take us to another carryover. It is Spring Is Here by Rhonda Yazri. And Kate, would you like to give that a read for us?
Yes, my dear. You have to just give me a second. I've almost lost as well. I'm not a woman. I can't do more than one thing at one time. It's quite embarrassing. Oh, my goodness, sweet. Just bear with me a second. I can do this. Right, something's got to wait, so it's going to have to be there. Right, Spring Is Here. I'm with you in a moment. Be fresh, refresh, okay. Wake up, spring is here. Wake up, the cold of winter melts away, and spring brings a new beginning. Flowers are so delighted to bloom again, the birds are cheerfully singing. New life is emerging from the ground, colouring everything in nature green. What a better invitation to get out to this beautiful scene. Shorter nights, longer days, go out. Breathe the fragrant fresh air deeply. New joy, new hope, confess the whole world is so dreamy. Wake up, forget about worries, clear your mind, be a social creature. Just concentrate on beauty and sound of nature. End poem.
Yeah, this is just another beautiful, you know, wake up, spring is here. You know, just a call to get out there. And, you know, I just love, forget your about worries, clear your mind, be a social creature. Just concentrate on beauty and the sound of nature. Just love how she finished out that poem. So wonderful right here all throughout by Rhonda. What did you think, Diane?
Well, you know, I love this because she's telling me in this right, I'm looking out this dark, dreary window and she's saying, wake up, spring is here. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. It's beautiful. It's great. You know, what a message. What a powerful message. Stop what you're doing and realize spring is here. I mean, that's everything, right? And it's just a strong message. The world needs to hear a message like that. Spring is here. Wake up. And just the way she put it together, I'm just impressed with it. Very impressed with it. Wonderful brevity and wonderful message.
Oh, indeed. Just amazing, you know, a call, an invitation to hope too, you know. I think it brings on a new hope, you know, after COVID, after a long winter, just hope there of a renewal. So where are you taking us next, Diane?
Okay, so we have, next is Be Loved by Laughing Soul. And I'll go ahead and give that a read. Or is there? No, there's no SoundCloud. I'll go ahead and give that a read. It's called Be Love. When floweth beyond the yore a music sublime, when love enchanteth forever two souls entwine, I know no heart which dance not in love. I know no flower that smiles not in sunshine. Twilight fades into darkness below, yet I know no ocean which swells not in moonshine. End poem.
Oh, how beautiful is that? You know, she has the word floweth, and I think this just flows. And she has the word enchanteth, and I think this just enchants. It's just so beautiful. I know no heart which dance not in love. I know no flower that smiles not in sunshine. You know, I love that comparison there. You know, the heart filled with love. and the smiling flower, you know, filled with sunshine. I just love that comparison. So cleverly written. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes. I mean, you start off with that beautiful picture. It's very, very evocative. I like it. Like you, I love the use of the older-fashioned words because they do have a purity that we talk in a kind of a shorthand nowadays. People don't use words the way they used to use words, and that's something we should miss because it does. It just adds an element to something like this. When you say, when love enchanteth forevermore, two souls entwined, just lovely. And I know no heart which dance not in love. I know no flower that smiles not in sunshine. See, isn't that beautifully put? Yes. I'm reading along as I'm doing it. Yes, I have to say this is a very, very deep. There's a lot more to this than you would actually think when you first read it. And that's why I'm reading it again. But there is an awful lot into this which I think is really sublime. Yes, it's sublime. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you indeed, Laughing Soul, for entering this amazing, amazing piece here. And Diane, your thoughts?
I'm with you both. The word choice. I mean, it's hidden poetic devices like that really pull out a piece and I go, wow. You know, when love enchants forevermore, that word, the taking the words and that we don't, like Kate said, that we don't normally talk. And today, yeah, everything is LOL, OMG, you know, and taking a word and expanding it into its beauty, floweth. I mean, she's taking the beauty out of the word and putting it into the piece. It's just amazing. Bravo, bravo.
Mm-hmm. I see it's another gold winner. Yeah, so well deserved. Bravo from me to Laughing Soul there. Just a lovely piece. And Diane, where are you taking us next?
Okay, next I am going to go back up here. Sorry, I kind of, that poem just grabbed me enough that it took me off guard. I'm going to go to Eyes of Memory. Eyes of Memory by Rubes. And Naomi, would you give that a read for us?
Of course. Eyes of Memory. Milk flops in my coffee, obfuscating the Sigean darkness. Coffee better have the same effect on me. I turn, catching at the edge of my eye an image hanging high in the far corner on rough canvas, family photo. Like oft before, I stare at a treasured offspring pooling round our feet. My gaze following up your lilac dress with lace bodice to halt, transfixed in your ever-staring eyes. Tight pulsating chest beats commence. I sigh, but damn, life is good with you round. Such a lot has happened. Catch myself staring. Poem. Wow, you know, I just love, you know, this is the kind of poems that, you know, I'm really drawn to a lot. You know, just when he's in a moment and he's just, you know, in that moment and just describing how he's feeling in that moment. And it flows so wonderfully, you know. And, you know, just right down to that last line there, I catch myself staring and turn to cold coffee. Just an amazing, amazing write here by Rubes. Just so well executed all the way through. And I see it was a front page pick, so bravo, and also a gold winner. So well deserved. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes, it was. It's very, very well written. So evocative. Hanging high in the far corner on a rough canvas, a family photo. Like oft before, I stare at our treasured offspring pulling round your feet, my gaze following up your lilac breast with lace bodice to hold transfixed in your ever-staring eyes. Yeah, that's just really, really lovely. There's somebody who is, as you say, living the moment, living through things, thinking about what his life was like. And then back to the cold coffee. Yes, very, very well written. And I'm glad I didn't have to say that second line, though. That would have been a cracker for me. I think I might have got the just as well you read it, I think. Yes, it was really well read, thank you, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, so much in this poem, you know, Eyes of Memory. Just love that title. Diane, your thoughts on this write?
I enjoyed this, you know. Rube's great FPP, you deserve this one. Eyes of Memory. Again, another piece that instead of taking me to the first line, I jumped right down to the last two lines. I tapped myself staring and turned to cold coffee. And I just see the memory fading, you know, the leaving the memory behind him and turns to cold coffee. And that symbolizes for me that that's it. It's time to move on now. The memory's gone. The coffee's cold. You know, it's just beautiful metaphor, beautiful way to put so much into a brevity that captivates. And, you know, I almost felt a sadness with the cold coffee. And yet I felt like that it was okay for the writer, that was okay. So well done. Really, really emotively touched me and pulled me in.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. I agree.
Girls, do you think we have enough of time to squeeze a little one in? Do you have
1 minute
ready?
1 minute, 44 seconds left.
Oh, we have time. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Movements of Spring by Keiku. And Kate, would you like to go ahead and read that?
Yes, of course. Right, Movement of Spring. I, like rain on blank skies, showers of ink left to dry, searching for rainbows. Spring birds migrating, wings flickered like thin paper, pages caught in wind. Composing bouquet, ballad of spring melodies, magnolias sighing, end poem.
Wow, isn't this beautiful? This lot, these three haikus, just so distinct, each one of them, but they flow so wonderfully together. Just such rich imagery here. You know, they just, like the movement of spring is titled, the whole thing just moves so beautifully. Just such an amazing, amazing piece here. What did you think, Kate?
Oh, yes, it was lovely. I mean, I hadn't realized that. I thought that was an I at the top, but it was meant to be one. I apologize for that. Twit that I am. But yes, I love this kind of writing. I just like it so much. It's light rain on blank skies. I mean, it's like showers of ink left to dry, searching for rainbows. As somebody who is looking forward to spring, obviously. Spring birds migrating, wings flickered like thin paper, pages caught in wind. It's just, the metaphors are just wonderful in this. It just really is lovely and beautifully written. And three of them, that's so good. Yes, I enjoyed this a lot. Thank you.
So much so. And final word, Diane, on this piece?
Oh, final word. Well done. Beautiful haiku. I'm a sucker for haikus. I love them. So well done. And the last line, magnolia sign, What a way to end our show, Kiku.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. And, you know, I just want to, I know we're not on air anymore, but for everybody that will listen to it in later and listen over, I just want to say, you know, how amazing you guys all are for submitting your poems every week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just so thankful for it because, you know, without you, there is no show. And so thanks to all our wonderful poets out there. Thank you to you two girls. And thank you for Pam in the background who does every so much. And thank you for Phil and Adam, you know, for this wonderful show. It's a wonderful opportunity that we were given here. So, yeah, so just have a great end of day, girls.
Thank
and,
you.
And goodbye to everybody.
Night.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.